Praise the Lord. I don't know how many there are. That king must be a very strong and powerful king. Anyway, hallelujah. He knows what he was looking for in every woman. And it would take the whole night for him to finish the investigation. Whatever he was inspecting, it would take a whole night to finish the inspection. So if you read any other thing they were doing, maybe you know better than me. But in the morning, she will go back. Now, the Bible tells us in that story that all the other maidens, before their chamberlain, they will ask, they were the ones that decided the type of cloth they will wear. And is it not true about the denominations? Every denomination has her doctrines that she believes. Irrespective of what the Word of God says, every denomination, they have what they believe. We in our church, this is what we believe. No matter how you show them in the Bible, that is, some of them will tell you that is the one during Vashti. Now, we are now during our own time. During our own time, this is what we believe. We don't believe in the gifts anymore. We don't. When I say all, I mean all. All the maidens is what they chose, the type of dress they chose. Did you hear that Paul told Peter and told Timothy that the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but they will heap up for themselves teachers with what? Itching ears. What they want to hear is what you should tell them. That's exactly what the story of Esther is all about. But there was one poor little girl. Hallelujah. There was even an orphan. Helpless girl. But has an obedient heart. That is the emphasis. Hallelujah. That's why when it comes to salvation, the first place that God deals with is that stony heart. But she had a heart that was ready to receive. And the Bible tells us that she did not ask for anything but what the chamberlain gave her to wear. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. It is what the chamberlain gave her to wear, because the chamberlain knows the mind of God. That is the problem we have with Christianity today. That is why your identity, first and foremost, as a Christian, is the church you belong. So that everybody will know what you believe. That's the truth. No matter what you show the average Christian in this age, no matter what you open the Bible to punch what is believing, no. We in our church, this is what we believe. We in our church, we ordain women. Although the king says you should not ordain women. Although the church, the king says baptism is in the name of the Lord Jesus, you say we is Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Although the king keeps saying, hear all ye Israel, the Lord your God is one, you say three persons in one God, Trinity. You see? And this is what, you understand what I mean. We, this is what we believe. But church, God never leaves himself without a witness. Hallelujah. The story we see, what we saw there in the book of Revelation, those seven stars in the right hand of God, of Christ himself, they are the seven star messengers to every church. Each of the seven church ages. And every age, there was always a voice to hold the truth. You can't bypass it. Anyway, when it was the turn of Esther, what she wore according to what the chamberlain gave her. Church, listen. Nobody in this age, will bypass the teaching of the chamberlain for this age and ever make the rapture. It is thus said the word of God. I repeat, nobody in the time of Luther, if you refuse the message of justification, you remain in the dead Catholicism. You will never make the rapture for that age. Every age had the bride for that age. In our age also, there is a star messenger. Oh, glory be to God. People tell me you preach William Branham. I don't preach William Branham. I'm only telling you where I am receiving the dressing for the bride for this age. That is the chamberlain dressing me up. Nothing more than that. Hallelujah. The emphasis is the dress. It's the dress. In Matthew chapter 22, emphasis of the parable there of the wedding feast. Let's read it from verse 1. Matthew 22. Let's read it from verse 1. And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables and said, listen very well. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son. That son is the Lord Jesus Christ. And sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they will not come. And those are the Jews. Again, he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner. Is that not another story of King Ahasuerus and the queen? Behold, I prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But they made light of it and went their ways. One to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. In the first church age, you know what happened. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth. And he sent forth his armies in AD 70 and destroyed those murderers. The Pharisees and the Sadducees and those Jews, and burnt up their city, Jerusalem. Then said he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together. I love this next statement. All as many as they found, both bad and good. Both bad and good. And the wedding was furnished with guests. Maybe you don't understand both bad and good. Both bad and good here. There are some of you that never, you lived a very clean life. Your social life, everything about you, you know, you grew up. There are people like that. That is a brother in my former church that came one time and gave testimony. He said there is nothing the entire message added to him other than the depth of revelation concerning his life. He never smoked in his life. And this was a chartered accountant that was speaking. That's somebody who made first class in the university. And he said he never smoked. He never ever slept with a woman before he got married. He never drank. In fact, he hates lies. In fact, he does this. After that, I collected a microphone. I say, hey, there is a song that my brother cannot sing. Hey, amazing grace, how sweet a sound. He is a good one. Now me and Zoe, now we be the bad one. Zoe, acknowledge. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Everybody, they know my own. The one where I know I go talk. All of now. Patrick Onya, in fact, me and you, Bill, I say we're at the same level. Yes. Who again? Where I know. Good and bad. Good and bad. Bad. Gather us together. Hallelujah. That is grace for you. Okay. Oh yeah, verse 11. Verse 11 now. Let's read on verse 11. And when the king came in to see the guests, I said, there is inspection time. He saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. Okay? The emphasis again is wedding garment. He says, this whole world can never hold me. Any moment I'll be gone. He said, for I've made my consecration, and I have my wedding garment on. Okay, let's read on. Let's read on. Verse 11 again. Verse 11 again. Hallelujah. And when the king came to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. Verse 12. And he said unto him, friend. Okay, now. Hey, everybody. That is not a friend like the lowly. You are his friend. And we are his friends. Friend? Yes. He is not a friend. Doesn't he answer your prayers? He answers your prayers. But it's not enough that you are his friend. It's not enough that you are going about preaching. It's not enough that you are a pastor, you are a prophet, you are an evangelist. It's not enough that you are the financier of the ministry. It's not enough that you are a giver. It's not enough that you are a prayer warrior. Anytime you pray, heaven hears you. You are a friend. But there is more than that. You are a friend, but how come thou in hither? Not having a wedding garment? How come? You are not having a wedding garment. You are wearing a different type of garment. And if you read the story, he said he was speechless. If you read it further, the conclusion of it is that he is cast out into outer darkness. The outer darkness, there is the tribulation period. He ended by saying, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth now. Because you were a friend, but you didn't know that it's more than friendship. Hallelujah. You need the dressing of a bride. That wedding, you must have a wedding garment to be part of that wedding. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yes. Not just that. We saw in Revelation chapter 7, if you read it from verse 9, those who overcome, let's read it from verse 9. Hallelujah. That's Revelation chapter 7, yes. It says, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number of all nations, and kindreds, and people, and tongues, through the seven church ages gathered together, he saw the end. Stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with. What were they clothed with? What are they clothed with? Clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. If you go to verse 13. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes? Who are they? And whence came they? From where did they come to this stage? And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. My emphasis, those overcomers. What is the identity there? White robes. What of the bride? Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19, verse 7, 8, and 9. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. The marriage has come. John saw the end of all things. This is one of them. And to her, like Esther, was granted that she should be arrayed. He will say she should be arrayed. It is somebody that is dressing her up. She was not dressing herself up. That she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. And what is this garment that is talking about? The fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he said unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, these are the true sayings of God. Why did he say blessed are they who are called? Because whom he called, he justified. When he justified, he again glorified. It is him that does the action. So we are blessed. That is where the blessing comes from. And he is the one that dresses us. And the dressing is the dressing of the word. And he always uses man. He uses the chamberlains. He uses the star messengers. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And so that is number one. Number one, evidence. Number one, the identity of the bride is the garment. This garment of righteousness is the estate where you stay before God acceptably. A life pleasing before God. And let me tell you, a life pleasing before God, no human being ever can live a life pleasing before God. And God recognizes it, therefore, he gives us the Holy Ghost. That is the meaning of grace. And by the Spirit of God dwelling in us, he gives us the ability to live a life pleasing before him. Verse 13 of Philippians chapter 2, he says, for it is God which worketh in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It is God by his indwelling spirit. That is the meaning of grace. You have not experienced grace if you are struggling to live a life pleasing before God. Grace enables you to walk with God for better, for worse. That is the grace. Where you want to see grace manifest is to see somebody where physically all around him is frustration, but he still confesses Christ as his Lord and personal Savior and serves him and refuses to bend otherwise. Only grace can achieve that. Only grace can achieve it. Listen, church. Hallelujah. I am talking about grace that anchors. The anchor that you have, no matter what the breeze blows you, you remain steadfast. No matter what the situation, you remain steadfast. No matter whatever storms, if it is good, praise God. If it is bad, still praise God. Not once. When something happens, you turn back. I don't even know. Some will say, I don't even know. Maybe I'm a serpent seed self. Maybe I'm a serpent seed self. I am a serpent seed self. Maybe I am self. If I am, then why am I wasting my time serving this God? Let me go enjoy my life. Make I know if I die, I go to hell. It's because you are only a religious person. You have no anchor. Who did you go out to see concerning John the Baptist? He said, a reed shaking with wind. No, he was focused. Every wind of doctrine, blown about by every wind of doctrine. No, a believer in this age is focused. You know why? Because the Bible is your absolute. Hallelujah. I repeat, the Bible is your absolute. William Branham did not come to give us a substitute to the Bible. No! Hallelujah. He came to return the Bible to us. They are taking the Bible away from us. God, through that ministry in this age, came to return the Bible to us. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Righteousness, a right standing before God. And the only way to confirm your righteousness, amen, it's not by your ability, it's by the mirror of the Word of God. Don't check your righteousness by your spiritual ability to do anything. No. You will miss it. Because you can pray for 10 hours every day non-stop. Therefore, I am a bride member. Hey. Amen. It's deeper than that. Don't, because an angel visits you every day, begin to say, that means you are a seed of God. You are righteous. No! He giveth his gift to all, including rebellious. Hey! Another mystery is that there are vessels unto honor and vessels unto dishonor in that one great house. Hey! Another mystery, there are borrowed vessels. There are borrowed vessels. Therefore, examine yourself if you be in the faith. Secondly, evidence is if it's attitude, home-going attitude. Let me dwell there a little bit. How many people are ready now? Be sincere to yourself. How many of us are ready now if Christ come to go with him? Yeah, some of you are sincere. Be confident. Wave it. Let your neighbor, when not feel, raise your hand to see you. Maybe after service, he go follow you. Say, hey, sister, how you be now? What gives you the confidence? Amen. Now, if at this stage of your Christian faith, you are not yet ready, then, you know, you should ask yourself, what is your hope? So all you are doing is religion. Listen, there are two ways that the rapture is going to strike through the grave. And those of us who are alive, in a moment, in a twinkle of an eye, will be changed. There are some that will be living that will go. But there are some, even here now, if the Lord tarries, we will all die. Especially those of us who are old. Now, if I know, and nobody here knows the day you will die. Anybody here know the day you will die? No. Let's even face it. If it would have been so nice for God to tell us when we will die. Oh, God, you will have made the things, you know, easy. But God knows, if you know, say you will die in 4 years' time, like our governors, they know they have only 4 years remaining. Their second time. Now the first time, then they walk away well. Now only second time. The second time, now to prepare for their exit. You see any governor in Nigeria, they walk for second time. You know they walk for second time. You go thief, then you go prepare the person, we go replace them. I will enter vow. I will walk for you. You cover me up. So God knows that if he tell you the day you will die, you will do all the 2 minutes, To death, you say, Father, forgive me. I give my life to Christ. Amen. Amen. No one can mock God. Hallelujah. Don't be deceived. No one can mock God. So God made sure he didn't tell Jesus the day, the hour of his coming. He didn't tell us the day you will die. So, knowing that I don't know the day I will die, and when we say untimely death, who has the time? It's God that has the time. Everyone that dies, it is your time to die. Do you understand? How do I know? How come everybody in that accident died and only you there alive? You pray past the rest. You holy past the rest. Okay now. It is because their time has come. Your own time has not yet come. Every one of us. Amen. Once your time comes, the protection will be lifted from you. And then you go the way you have chosen to go. If you chose to go to hell, you go there and wait. If you chosen to go to heaven, by the life that you live and your attitude to God through his word. Knowing so, why do you need a sermon to live a life as if today is the last day I may be living? That's why I love the statement William Branham made. William Branham said, when they asked him, amen, he said, live your life. He said, now that Christ is coming soon, William Branham, Christ is coming soon, Christ is coming soon. Should I stop working? Should I stop business? Should I stop? He made this statement. He said, plan your life. He said, plan your life as if he's coming 1,000 years from now. But live your life as if he's coming the next moment. And I think it's the wisest answer that can be given to any believer. I will plan my life. Amen. But I will not chase these earthly things to the detriment of my soul. So what is the attitude? We see that attitude. We can imagine what the attitude is concerning the story of Daniel. In the book of Daniel chapter 9, the Bible says, as at that time, Daniel and the whole of Israel, they were in a captivity that came up through the prophecy of Jeremiah. In Jeremiah chapter 25, he gave that prophecy that they would be in captivity for how many years? How many years, George? Say it if you know it. 70 years. And that is what took Daniel, and they were all in the Babylonian captivity. And but that Daniel is a type of the bride. Prophecy said 70 years. And that after 70 years, he will return them to their land. And so Daniel knew they would not stay forever. But of all the Jews, just like the Christians, all Christians believe that the world will come to an end one day. All Christians know that Christ is coming one day. All Christians know there is going to be a rapture. All Christians know that there shall be an end to all things. This life will not continue like this. But the Bible says Daniel decided to study. Maybe he too was, relaxed. 70 years is a long time. Like all Jews. Build your houses, like we shall say, maybe buy your stocks, marry even the Babylonians, have your landed property and everything, and then just fix into the system, fit into their politics, fill into their economy, and relax. But Daniel knew, this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. That is the attitude of every Christian now. This world is not our permanent place. When I say this world, I mean this system of the world. This earth shall abide forever. Praise the Lord. This earth was created to be inhabited by man. I hope we know that the rapture is a harvest. After he has harvested, he will come and clean up the whole earth and bring us back here to live eternally as he proposed in the Garden of Eden. So all of us, every one of us, we know it. Amen. But there is an agenda. And you will take note that the emphasis of the book of Daniel has not in any age been emphasized. This divine agenda, it is only in this seventh church age that attention is properly called to it. Because, like Daniel, when the time is near, God will cause an awakening among us. And all of a sudden, Daniel began to think, come on, this Babylon, where we stay here for how many years or so? When I was a little boy, that was when I was in captivity here. 70 years. Now, 70 years, so he said he understood by books. And according to history, by the time Daniel was studying, this realization came to him. They had spent 68 years out of the 70 years. That's my emphasis. The attitude. The homegoing attitude. And I say something here. A prophet, a spiritual person like Daniel, the home, their home means so much to them. You know, it means so much to them. They were taken away to a strange land, strange culture, strange religion, no freedom to worship their God. Remember, they are very religious people, the Jews. In all manner of frustration, in slavery. And so, his mind is, when shall I see my father's land? When shall I go back home? When? Then he suddenly discovers it is remaining 2 years. Now imagine the attitude of Daniel. Go and tell Daniel that there is land for sale. Will he buy it? There is an investment that you make money, MMM. Quick money, MMM. Oh. I want to spoil some people's hearts now. I'm sorry. I don't want to scratch any wound we want to heal with the time. Because MMM finished. Kai, MMM. Will Daniel listen to MMM? Hallelujah. One Babylonian went and grabbed his land. Will Daniel go to court to claim back his land? The attitude. While others are living their oblivion, they are just there, enjoying themselves as if it is forever they will be there. There is a Daniel church. Daniel is a type of the bride of Christ in this age. There is something we know that reflects in our attitude towards life generally. We don't kill ourselves. I say, we don't kill ourselves because of any of these earthly possessions. Our hearts are more on things heavenly. As we begin to see, you know, the deterioration of everything man has established is getting deteriorated. Everything that is going on now, everything, the cause, the final blow that Satan has done to mankind is the invention of satellite, the invention of internet. Internet is the greatest cause that humanity has acquired. And using the internet, you can see the effect. It's coming up small. There's no more fellowship. Even between husband and wife, do you discuss again? When you sit down, you are lying down on your bed, everybody with their smartphone on the net. Even when you want to talk to her, you will chat her by your side. Chat. Then he's tapping, he wants to tell you something. He says, wait, I said something to you. Read it then. Fellowship broken. Access. Any age, every age, unlimited access. When I began to hear some things that I invented, I read it a few days ago, my heart got so broken to see that Satan has conquered and reconquered. You say, there is, what do you call it? There are applications that you can monitor what your children are watching. Do you know that another application is created to deceive you? There's another application that is created. Whatever they use that smartphone to do, if you want to find out, you will not see anything by another application. Who are they doing it for? For children, so that you can beat your parents. The greatest evil, I repeat, is this internet thing. I pity generations that are coming hereafter. I pity generations that are coming hereafter. Oh, and I know God, he did not allow the days of Noah to continue for too long. He will not allow this age to continue like that. They will turn human beings to complete animals. Human beings will continually become more and more godless. And don't you ever think there's anything you can do to stop it. Physically speaking. You will not give them your phone, Abby. You will not give them phone. You won't buy phone for them. Oh, yeah, follow them to school now. Their friends are there with phone that they will use. Okay, they will not go anywhere, Abby. They say, well, you will do it. They will start to hate you. Your children will turn and fight you. The only thing left now, we the parents on our knees. For with God, all things are possible. That's the only thing left. Only thing left. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. In time like this, we should go back to the books. And we have gone back to the books. And we have seen, by every standard, that it's time no longer. According to the divine agenda. And like Daniel, there are some of us that have this knowledge that dictates how we also live our life. We are trying. We are trying, though. We are trying. The forces around us are too much. Are too much. Too much. Materialism has taken over. Nobody is rated now. Nobody thumps you for any Christian virtue. The only thing that gives you recognition is if you have money, you have some property, you have some good car. Nobody thumps you up for exhibiting any Christian virtue. And every gift we have now, all gifts that are supposed to give glory to God, the first thing that comes to our mind is the houses we can build with that gift, the cars we can ride with that gift. The first thing, and that is why the gifts that believers rush, go to the mountains to go, and revelatory gifts that can solve people's problem. You can see vision, you can prophesy, you can discern, you can do deliverance, and then, don't you see that there are places they call ministry, they say ministry. I don't have pastoral call, but I have ministry. I gather people every Wednesday, and then they come. And then, what is he doing? He's to collect tithe and offering. Nothing more. Nothing more. He's gifted. Properly gifted. And don't you attend it? He said, no, we are not a church. We are just here. It's just a ministry. It's just a ministry. And then the ministry, one of us gave us land. And one of us bought this for us. And one of us, what is it? No, go to your churches. So you can go to your churches. Catholic, go to your Catholic. Here, we don't talk against any church. We're only a ministry. God gave me a gift, and I want to use the gift to chop. I want to use the gift to chop. Materialism. Oh, praise the Lord. Where you are hearing pastors now. What is the testimony of a pastor? When this ministry started, I know I had one trouser and one palm sandals. But now, shameless people. Shameless. But you know, he doesn't know the effect of what he's saying. Because he doesn't know better. That the testimony of a pastor will be the number of cars. So church now na business. So church now na business. Na business, oh. I have had in this church ministers some years back that were telling themselves, if you stay with this Hausa man, you're not going to make anything as you come, that's why you go this Lagos. I had it. If you stay with this Hausa man, that's what. Use what you have to get what you want, oh. Use what you have to get what you want. In the gospel. And you don't read church history. So you don't know what our forefathers in the faith went through. Which property did Apostle Paul acquire? Read the testimony of Apostle Paul. All that he went through. Kai, let's read it. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Hallelujah. See testimony. Chapter 11. I read it from verse 16. Amen. I say again, let no man think me a fool, if otherwise, yet as a fool receive me that I may boast myself a little. Because it is foolish to boast. But some people were challenging him, so he wanted to say some things. Okay, let me just go to verse 20. For ye suffer if a man bring you unto bondage, if a man devour you, if a man take of you, if a man exalt himself, if a man smite you on the face. Now, I, Apostle Paul, I speak as concerning reproach, as though we had been weak. How be it? Wheresoever, soever, any is bold. I speak foolishly. I am bold also. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more a minister than all of them. In labors, more abundant. See his testimony. In stripes, above measure. That is the beating that he received. He said above measure. In prisons, more frequent. In deaths, awful. Several times he escaped death. Verse 24. Of the Jews, 5 times receive I 40 stripes, save one. 39. 39 stripes. 5 times. Now in the Canaan. Nobody say it evil for preaching this gospel. Verse 25. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. In weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak and I am not weak? Who is offended and I burn not? If I must needs glory, I will glory. See the testimony. I will glory of the things which concern my infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not. In Damascus, the governor under Aretas, the king, kept the city of the Damascenes with a garrison desirous to apprehend me. And through a window in a basket was I let down by the wall and escaped his hands. Testimony of a soldier in the field. Our own. What is their testimony? The number of houses I have built since ministry started. And I have had those who will say, I suffer. Now I will enjoy. Now I will enjoy. The rapture has taken place, Abi. The gospel has ended, Abi. Are you the one enjoying? Did we not say the overcomers? Didn't every age has overcomers and the reward for the overcomers? Have we finished? Is salvation over? I am saying this. Maybe somebody has not yet, taken note of this, to see that it's a gross error. A minister of God should not, who depend on the offerings of the people to sustain, you should not be bold enough to come and tell them that you are using their offering to build houses. Kai! They are collecting tithe from the people to buy cars. Kai! If you are doing business, go and give your testimony. Tell us the business you are doing and how that business started. That's understandable. Come and tell them, I started business with just 200,000. In fact, now my uncle dashed me. Now, I am the biggest tither in this ministry. Uh-huh. That's understandable. You didn't tell us the business you are doing. You only say, I do business. Which business should they do? Now, every business, let's know it. If you are a minister, you are doing any business, you are a pastor, let the church know the business you are doing. If not, if you are depending on their tithe and offering and charging them and this and that, stop that nonsense. It is not Christianity. That is not the Christian faith. That's not the Christian faith. Examine yourself. If you be in the faith. 2 years more, Daniel. 2 years more. Through the agenda that was given to Daniel, we know the gospel will soon go back to Israel. This is the age that we see the rapture. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We say Abraham's blessings are mine. But Abraham was a man of faith. He's the father of faith. Here is commentary. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. We read verse 8 and verse 9 and verse 10. Listen concerning Abraham. And that must be our attitude. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive an inheritance. Is it not the same thing with us? He obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. Uh-huh. By faith, revelation, he sojourned in a land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling, where was he dwelling? In tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. And verse 10, for he looked for a city, that is where I am going. See, by revelation. He didn't see where he's going, or he was only told by God. For he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Go to verse 13. 13, 14, 15, 16. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off by revelation. And we are persuaded of them, and embrace them, and confess that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth by revelation. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of what country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. And verse 16. But now they desire a better country. Somebody shout desire. Shout desire. That is a heavenly country, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he had prepared for them a city. Oh! That is why he was called a friend of God. Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for what? People don't understand. He believed. What is the evidence that he believed? That is the commentary concerning him. You believe. This is the evidence that he believed. He lived in tents. That is, he lived like a pilgrim, ready to move at any time because he looked all around. There is a place. There is a city that God promised him. He saw that by revelation. And he therefore looked forward to going to that city. Ah. Oh, glory be to God. That's why we sing that song. There is a country far beyond the starry sky. There is a city where they have never come to land. Oh, if we are faithful, we shall go there by and by.
It's a city where the land.
It is just the Lord.
Oh, it's a city where the land. It's the land.
That's why we sing that song. This world is not my hope.
I'm sure the passage through.
Oh yes, it's not a song. It's a confession. It's a fact.
Somewhere beyond the blue. From heaven's open door, I can't be alone in this world anymore. Oh, Lord, you know, I have no friend like you. If heaven is not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels are for me, from heaven's open door.
Some of you don't understand some revelations that you have been seeing recently. Anytime you see a revelation of rapture, it is the angels beckoning on you, telling you this world is not your home. Anytime you see vision, you see revelation, and you see it is rapture, whether you go or you don't go, they are reminding you, it's angels beckoning on you, that this world is not your home. Hallelujah. The expectant servant. Listen, Romans chapter 13, verse 11, 12, 13, 14. It says, and behold, knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. And he says, for now, this seventh church age, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Because we are now in the seventh church age. And so he admonished, he said, the night is fast spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. That is Apostle Paul to the church. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. And so Jesus himself gave this parable in Luke chapter 12, verse 32. From verse 32 up to verse 38, let's read it please. And I'll read it fast. Luke chapter 12. It is the parable of the expectant servant. Luke chapter 12 and verse 32. And it says, fear not, little flock. Hallelujah. Fear not, little flock. For it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that you have and give alms. Provide yourself bags, wax, which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not. Where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupted. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Let your loins be gathered about, and your lights burning. And you yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord. That is the admonishment. When he will return from the wedding. That when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants, whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watch. Verily I say unto you, that he shall guide himself and make him to sit down to meat, and will comfort and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them so, blessed are those servants. And this know, that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief will come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken through. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. I read that verse 40 again. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when you think not. How prepared are you, church? When he will come, he will not tell you 2 weeks in advance. He will come like a thief in the night, unexpectedly. Hallelujah. I see the story of Rebecca. Eliezer is a type of the chamberlains that went to get the bride for the son of his master, Isaac. And what do you think in that journey of so many days, what do you think Eliezer will be telling Rebecca? That is the message of the chamberlains. And it got her so much in expectation. There's something I have taken note there that shows that Rebecca was in expectation. Do you know, it's not Eliezer that said, hey, Rebecca, see the man, what did they tell you about? It was Rebecca that cited Isaac and asked Eliezer, who is that man? Her whole heart was on that man Eliezer has been talking about. She was in expectation, watching. If she was not watching, she would not have spotted a young man that came out and eagerly waiting for the coming of his wife. When there is a deep calling, there is a deep to respond. The spirit and the bride say, come. Hallelujah. That is one point I want to bring out there. It was not Eliezer. Eliezer was still busy telling her what the man likes, what the man likes to eat, how they behave in their place, how the culture and everything. And it got her so much, her heart was not on the camel she was riding. Do you understand what I'm saying? That camel there is the power of the Holy Ghost. That camel there is, you know, whatever it is we pride ourselves about. The gift of the Holy Ghost, hallelujah, is to enable us walk. We are sealed until the day of redemption. It's enable us to comfort us along this journey until we meet the bridegroom. But a time comes where you are no more concentrating on the gifts and manifestation of the power in the church. Church, that has a part to play. But the time comes where we know all this will end. One day, Rebecca will come down from the camel and be joined with the husband. He said, prophecy will cease. Vision will cease. Hallelujah. But when the perfect one comes, that perfection comes in the union of the bride and the bridegroom. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Because when we be with him, we shall not need prophecy again. When we meet with him, we shall not need vision again. When we meet with him, we shall not need prayer warriors again. We will not speak in tongue again. We will not bind and loose again. We will not fast again. Hallelujah. All these are the camels that Rebecca was riding. But she was in expectation based on what she heard from the word. They had a message. And she saw that man. He looked like the man that Eliezer was talking of. She was the one that called the attention of Eliezer. Eliezer, who be that man? Why they see there? And he said, that is your husband. And something happened. What did she do? What did she do? She veiled herself. And that's another message. Praise.